Hi, everyone. I'm Paul Arvison. Oh, no. Is it? Do I need to turn this mic on or think about this? The recording? Okay. So I'm not Paul Arvison. This is Paul Arvison. I'm Jennifer Wiseman. We're going to kind of do this in a tag team fashion here. I direct this program called the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion for the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And I'm real pleased that this is the DOSER program, we call it, the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion. We have several of our team members here, and I'll introduce them in a moment. But the AAAS publishes the journal Science. It's the world's largest scientific society. It's a secular science advocacy organization. The little motto that we have is advancing science and serving society. And there are really well over 100,000 members of this society. So it's really a very large and vivacious science organization. And we can't figure out how to advance slides with all our vivacious science. There we go. So tucked within this big AAAS organization are several public engagement programs to try to bring science and better service of the public. So there's programs for science and legislation, science and education, and then there's this program of Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion. The idea for this program is not to do the deep philosophical, theological work on how science and religion may or may not mesh well together. We leave that to many of you who are professional philosophers and theologians. Our program is simply designed to provide platforms for better interaction and dialogue between scientists and religious communities. And again, this builds on why would AAAS do this? Because AAAS cares about relating scientific knowledge and technological development to the purposes and concerns of society at large. And I think it was realized around 19 years ago when this program started that religious communities are a large part of society, and people often view science through a lens of their larger worldview, which for many people includes religious faith. And so the AAAS realized that to be effective at communicating science, they really need to be acknowledging this and having conversations with religious communities. The program has done different things throughout the years to try to build up this dialogue. And so for the last several years, we've been doing several specific programs. I came on board 4 years ago. And we have a growing staff to do several specific projects now that's designed to reach and understand more sort of grassroots religious public in the U.S. Our program, as I said, is designed to foster communication, and you can read all about it at our wonderful website. So today we're talking about one of those specific projects, and I want to introduce, unless she's walked out, our project director, Say Kim. There she is. So she's come on board a few months ago and is helping manage all the projects that we do. In the back here, we also have David Buller, who's our program associate. David used to be an intern, but now he's come and is a full-time professional staff with the program. We're delighted. Faith Tucker back there is an alumni intern. She used to work with us, and we're so proud of her. And Paul Arvison is a senior program associate with the program. Did I miss anybody who's here? We have some other staff who... Janelle. Where's Janelle? Is she here? Ah, Janelle Vizi is our current intern this summer, so we're very, very pleased. This particular project is one of several that we're doing with the DOSER program. This one was designed because we were asked... by our advisory committee to the AAAS, we asked them, what should DOSER be doing? And they said, well, do something about evangelicals. We don't understand evangelicals. Do something. So we had this planning grant from the Templeton Foundation to figure out, well, what do we do with evangelicals? And in fact, that's one of the reasons I was brought on board as director, is because they thought that maybe I would know how to talk with evangelicals. So we started talking with the National Association of Evangelicals to get their perspective on what could a science society do to better the relationship between evangelicals and the scientific community. And what we heard from them was that, well, we, the NAE, don't even know what our people think about science to any depth, right? We don't know, other than these kind of silly little surface polls that come out, and Deb Harsman talked about, you know, some of the difficulties with how you word questions and things. We don't know to depth what people in the evangelical community are really interested in and concerned about in science. It's probably something deeper than just the specific science issues that come up. It's probably something more to do with what baggage does the science come up with? Do the scientists themselves have an agenda? You know, what is it that's underlying science could be their concern? And scientists have a very vague and sometimes erroneous perception of who evangelicals are. So we decided to do a major survey to try to understand at depth the perceptions, right or wrong, that evangelicals, and in fact several religious groups, have towards science and scientists, and that scientists have about them. Now, we did this in partnership with Elaine Howard Eklund. She's a sociologist at Rice University. And her team, because they know how to do surveys. She wrote this terrific book called, she doesn't like the title. The title is called Science Versus Religion, What Scientists Really Think. But it's a terrific book because she surveyed many, many scientists to find out what their own spiritual beliefs are. I encourage you to read that book. For this project, she helped us develop this major survey to find out what several religious groups think about science and scientists. And our part, the AAAS part of this project, was to focus on the results pertaining to evangelical Christians. And then in the final year of this project, which we're in right now, we're taking the results from that survey, we're holding workshops to bring scientists and evangelical leaders together to help basically facilitate understanding. We've had terrific partners with this project so far. By the way, we want to acknowledge the John Templeton Foundation for their support of this grant. The ASA has been a terrific partner helping us with this project, NAE, and the public agenda firm that has helped run our workshops and facilitate our focus groups. We have a terrific advisory committee. You'll recognize some of these names on here. In particular, you see Randy Isaac here. Catherine Hayhoe, who was just sitting in the room, but she's gone over to give her own talk. And you may recognize Dot Chappell there. Leith Anderson, who heads the NAE. You'll notice we had some pastors like David Anderson here. Ron Numbers. We've had some people representing the scientific community like Jeannie Scott and Jim McCarthy from Harvard University. And so we've had a diverse group of folks advising us on this project, and they still are for the final year here. The project objectives are to probe, these are little quotes from the proposal, to probe how a broad range of religious people with a particular emphasis on evangelicals understands and thinks about science, and to increase understanding, not agreement necessarily, but understanding between the scientific and evangelical Christian communities, and redefine this critical relationship. That's our bold goal, at least what we said in the grant proposal. Okay, so. And our desired results are to create awareness, at least, that there's a potential for positive dialogue between science and evangelical Christians. A lot of people in both of these camps, or in neither of these camps, believe that that's possible. And even to create lasting relationships within local communities between these two groups that go outlast this grant program. And hopefully try to model a different kind of interaction that's positive and constructive. So we've had several project activities, and at this point I think I'm going to hand this over to Paul to talk about some of the results of the survey. But let me just say that this has been going on. We started off with focus groups in 2012 and 2013 to get initial impressions from pastors and churchgoers about science. Then we did the major phone survey of 10,000 people. And then we have presented the initial results this year in Chicago at the AAAS annual meeting. You can read all about it on our website. We are now holding workshops in three different regions of the country: Pasadena earlier this year, next month in Colorado, in September in Atlanta, and a national conference on March 13th next year, where we're hoping to bring evangelical leaders and scientists from all over the country to Washington, D.C. to talk about the perceptions and what we can do going forward. So, Paul, if you would be so kind as to take the lead here and tell us what we learned from the survey.
All right.
There we go.
Now, feel free to speak up if you want to add something
Yes.
as we go through here.
Okay.
Jennifer didn't mention that her other job is that she is the chief scientist for the NASA Hubble Space Telescope program. So you've probably seen a lot of the pictures from the Hubble throughout this conference, as well as everywhere else you go these days. But this is her way of trying to bridge this gap of science and religion in her own way. And it's been an honor to work with you for the last year or so. One of the major efforts of this program was a national opinion survey, with questions custom designed by some of these folks on this advisory committee. Not a regular sociological survey, but it was a large survey conducted by telephone interviews, rather lengthy interviews, about a half an hour each, with a group of people randomly sampled from around the US. There was a somewhat deliberate bias for finding scientists and science community broadly defined, which included medical, dental, scientists, engineers, mathematicians, teachers, professors, a wide range of people who had some connection with STEM education or the sciences. The sample size, as you can see, is almost 10,000 people that were surveyed. So it's a rather solid set of data. And looking for prevalence of views on various things. Also along with this, Elaine Eklund and her team did hundreds of qualitative interviews with people. And some of the quotes from those will be drawn out in here just as examples for you. So we reported these results initially at the AAAS annual meeting in Chicago in February. And the preliminary report on all this is on our website. So I'm going to just go through some of the data very quickly with you just to get an impression of what we've found with this survey. This is the religion of the respondents to the survey, and as you can see, as expected, there's a heavy emphasis on Christians, Catholics, mainline Protestants, evangelical Protestants. A lot of folks who said no religion, the kind of the nuns that came up here. There are several questions of general concern to the public in addition to the classical questions about origins, about creation, evolution. We like to remind people of that really there's a lot of issues, particularly around climate change, around neuroscience and human nature, questions around life sciences, biology, bioethics, and how does that apply to us, because it's very close and personal. Questions about origins, whatever they are, they happened a long time ago in the past. We're concerned about a lot of things that are happening around us right now, or maybe in our own family, like the issue of euthanasia that we heard about yesterday. So those are the kind of things that we like to remind people that there's several concerns. Science education, of course, comes in, and the applications of science, and the practice and the methodology of science. How honest are scientists? Questions like that. So we asked questions like this. Thinking about the Ian Barber's four models of relationship between science and religion, conflict, independence, dialogue, integration, basically, we ask people this question: my understanding of science and religion can be described as a relationship of what? And here's the folks who said conflict. And I am on the side of religion. So you can see here the evangelical Protestants stand out as being in that camp, about 20%, about 29%. Rather. On the side of science, we have, as you can imagine, a skewed balance toward the folks with no religion, up above 50%. So that's not too surprising. Several other questions came up around hostility, and this came from one of the interview surveys that was done. 12% of evangelicals perceive hostility by religious people towards science. 37% of evangelicals perceive hostility by scientists toward religion. So there's a little asymmetry there. And here's a quote from Southern Baptist. He said, I think that especially in that field, people would be more apt to find a bone in the ground and say, this is the missing link. This is what proves evolution. We can finally shut up those rotten Christians. You know, so you see this coming out. The statistics on scientists' perceptions of hostility laid out here. 22% of scientists perceive hostility by religious people towards science. 24% perceive hostility by scientists toward religion. 12% of evangelical scientists perceive hostility by religious people towards science. 57% of evangelical scientists perceive hostility by scientists toward religion. Okay, so you see the asymmetry in some of the results. Yeah.
More significantly more evangelical scientists than evangelicals in general perceive hostility by scientists toward religion. Evangelicals who are in the science world perceive more hostility than evangelicals who are outside, and we found that to be kind of an interesting.
Yeah. Maybe they're paying more attention to the things. So. Yeah. Authority questions were asked, and this slide comes from some of the data that Elaine Eklund reported. With a question about science, who do you go to for checking out this claim? Scientists versus religious groups, 14% said, I would go to a person in a scientific occupation. But also, more than twice as likely as the general population to consult people in their congregation, maybe a religious leader or a religious text, to get authoritative information about science questions. Here's another quote from an evangelical perspective. As a Christian, creation, really it's all or nothing. Either the entire Bible's right or it's all wrong. Either everything inside of it is 100% accurate or none of it is. So if creation could be disproven, that just devastates my entire way of life, my entire being. Okay? So there's what's at stake, at least as perceived by some people. So going on with this framework of these four basic relationships, independence is another option, and here we have the statistics on that. Science and religion are two different aspects of reality, so they don't really overlap or compete with each other. So here we have the data. It shows, I think, that the evangelical group was the smallest number. It's a little over 20%, but other groups were much more favorable to that view. Another way to look at this is in terms of collaboration. My understanding of science and religion can be described as collaboration. Each side can support the other. One hand washes the other. They're complementary or some kind of relationship like that. Evangelicals are quite high on that score. Right? So here's an example of an evangelical scientist saying, he says, I think the church basically needs to drop its fear of science. Both the church and science are interested in the truth. Now, they are a little bit different aspects of the truth, but I don't think that either side needs to view the other antagonistically. And I understand how science feels because some of the past oppressions from the church. So maybe there needs to be a little forgiveness on both sides. Now, collaboration is a word that came up quite a bit in this survey and in the data results. And we, in one of our earlier focus groups, one of the participants actually was Carl Lynch, who's an ASA member. He was in the focus group, and he said, what do you mean by collaboration? And so we got to thinking about that, and we put together this slide that illustrates maybe this is a little too bland view of collaboration. I can think of at least four levels of engagement of collaboration that we could be thinking about. Maybe we're thinking about just applied science and technology. Suppose we want to build a water purification plant in a poor country so they can have pure water. Bring in some scientists and engineers to design the system. The missionaries can help support the project and so forth. Everybody collaborates, right? Or everybody collaborates to help in a disaster or something. But that's one level. What if you go down a level to public policy? Then you have questions like, what scientific story should be taught in public schools? What should we teach our children? How much public funding should go to science, or what kind of science? That's a little deeper question. You start to get a little more difficulty. Then you can go down deeper, and this may be kind of in the area where we talk about things at ASA meetings, scientific theories. How can views of natural history and science and revealed religion be reconciled? That's a little deeper. And then you could even go even deeper into philosophy and ask, you know, what is the general relationship between fields of knowledge as different as science and religion? So there's these deeper levels, and in our survey, in our focus groups and so forth, we're not able to really take the time to penetrate to those deeper levels. But at any rate, we do try to answer several questions in the survey. Here's a couple of questions that pair together that are interesting. We asked, true or false, or do you agree or disagree, science will find a natural explanation for everything? Well, evangelical Protestants came out kind of low there, about 15%. Other groups, scientists, no religion, was pretty favorable to that. Then the other question.
We should just, let me interrupt. You should ignore the Muslims and Eastern religion statistic there, because the people she interviewed were a very small number.
Yeah.
They were people that have been brought to the U.S. mostly for scientific career, so there's not, this is not statistically significant, but the other one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we got 3 minutes to finish.
Okay, so it was interesting that many of the evangelicals felt that science should be open to considering miracles. Well, sometimes people agreed with both. Science is going to be able to explain everything, and science should consider miracles. I thought that was kind of interesting. All right, so we are now in the process of doing stakeholder workshops at three places around the country. In Pasadena, we did one in May. We're going to be doing one next month in Denver, and then a third one in September in Atlanta. Bringing together a group of about 15 evangelical leaders, that is pastors, college professors, parachurch leaders, and about 10 or 15 scientists from the local area. College professors, working scientists. And we bring them together into an all-day workshop, and it'll be hosted by a group we're working with called Public Agenda that has experience doing these kind of facilitated dialogues and workshops. And they encourage people to get together when they have a perceived conflict about some issue, and they have techniques to get people to share. One of their techniques is this choice work. They allow people to take these different options and vote on which choice they would prefer, to build common ground, to do some collaboration, or to be separate. Good fences make good neighbors, this idea. Here's some conclusions that Elaine Eklund made about this implications for future dialogue, and this is something that might be useful lessons for ASA. Many Americans, evangelicals, and scientists themselves believe that religion and science can collaborate, whatever they take that to mean. Those who want dialogue need to consider the powerful role of religious leaders in the lives of evangelicals. Leaders, authors, nationwide speakers, and advocacy groups have a big effect on us. And then rank-and-file scientists who are evangelicals may be integral to mediation. And that's what I think ASA does. So there's a central role here for evangelical sciences such as ASA. We can dialogue with pastors. We can talk their language. We can talk the language of scientists. And we also do some constructive theology. So this is a central role that ASA has in this kind of work. Now, I want to just wrap up and remind you that there will be a national conference in Washington, D.C. on March 13th, 2015. I encourage you to consider signing up for that. It's going to be a high visibility event with press coverage and some important nationally known speakers to discuss this, and this will be in the Reagan International Trade Center downtown in Washington, D.C. So please save the date. We have some brochures in our exhibit desk, and I have some more flyers here I can hand out to you that will tell you more about that information. So with that, I'll open it up.
We have about 4 minutes for questions, and then we can take them once the questions are done. Please direct your question to Jennifer.
David?
Paul. I'm a bit curious about your sample selection after that slide that I think 9,100 plus people were interviewed. And you then said something about that a lot of these people interviewed were people who were scientists or teachers or physicians and such. It seems to me it goes with the people interviewed that that's a very biased sample of people who would identify themselves as evangelicals. I mean,
well, there were two different.
Yeah, I think that was confusing. Can you explain the separation?
Between yeah, there were two groups. The 9,000 were interviewed over phone surveys.
Okay.
They were a group of people, and this was done by, there are professional firms who line up groups of people who are willing to take surveys on any number of questions. And they're randomly sorted, carefully defined around the country in advance. So fairly quickly, you can do a phone survey of lots of people through this process. They're intended to be a random sample of the US population. Right? The other group was interviews of people, maybe what, 200 or 250, qualitative interviews.
But the difference here is that the oversampling was for the population to get people. See, we did two different surveys. One trying to discern what different religious groups thought, including even, I keep saying different religious groups and evangelicals, because Rice University was interested in five different religious groups. We were interested in one of those five, which was the evangelical Christian. But they also surveyed a group of people who had science-related careers, and I think that's what may have been confusing here is that the science-related, the people in science-related careers that we're calling scientists were also surveyed. And so what we were comparing here were those two different populations, the religious groups from the general population that included the evangelicals and the subset of people in scientific careers. So.
Yes. Well, the metadata about these individuals probably was collected, but that is not part of the initial report results. You're absolutely right. That's why we're doing these regional workshops in three different parts of the country, to try to get representative samples from those regions, the West, the Central, and then the South. So.
So questions like that, we can actually, we're not finished yet. Like our Rice University collaborators did the original survey. We have this, as Paul said, this huge data set. All the different analyses that can be done on it have not been done yet. So we're in the middle of that. We're collecting good questions like that to bring back to our Rice University colleagues and say, could you tease this out of the data? Could you help us? And so that's one thing you all could help us with,
right,
is telling us what you think would be important to tease out of this data. We've got the data. We just need to do the most interesting correlations and findings, and you can help us know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Did you pick up anything along the way about how groups of people, maybe evangelical Christians specifically, differentiate between the science of medicine versus the science of
once again, I don't think it was broken down to that detail, but this was a survey about perceptions of science. And as often marketers like to say, perception is reality. Whatever they say it is, that's what it is for them. And that's what we're seeking here, I think.
But we did ask them a question about what they thought was important. Was
but they had, answer? Yeah, they had. Yeah. There were a few questions in the survey about, you know, what do you think are critical concerns? But most, because this is a phone survey, you know, we can't get too deeply into qualitative answers on those things. Those came out in the other day.
Out of time. Mm-hmm. So if I could ask you to thank Jennifer.